This is the Let's Talk About It podcast. What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Let's Talk About It podcast, where we talk about it, whatever your it is.
All the things.
All the things.
All the things.
We talk about it. Welcome to another episode. We are so glad you could join us. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for tuning in week after week and just giving us your time. We really appreciate it. We don't say that lightly. Like, genuinely, it is... Yeah. Okay, let me not... You can talk.
No, go ahead. Keep going.
No, it's kind of overwhelming.
We'll say
so
why.
We just hit 500 subscribers.
Bam. Hold up. Like, that is because of... Okay, so here's the crazy thing. We had 400 on Friday, which was March 31st. Mm-hmm. And then 4 days later...
We're at 500. Yeah.
And here's the crazy thing. We've technically, like, the channel, I guess, because, you know, you have to have like an email to be on YouTube and everything like that. Mm-hmm. So I had a couple of videos before, but we're like, okay, we'll get serious about it in February. So we did the How We Met video first. For those of you, by the way, it's new to YouTube. We're not new to podcasts. We've been doing this over 2 years. Mm-hmm. So we actually have over 60 episodes. Oh, the last one was our 60th episode. Gotta do it again. Listen, we didn't celebrate that last time because we were just kept like, okay, another episode. And
I don't think it dawned on us until we posted.
It 100% didn't dawn on us. Yeah. Like, I was like, hey, we just did our 60th episode.
Yeah.
So there's only like 10 videos specifically for the Let's Talk About It podcast. But if you run out of watching us on here, we have over 60 episodes on our actual podcast. But here's what's crazy. We've been doing this over 2 years. We have, I want to say, 200 something followers on the Apple podcast, and then like high 100s, like 180 or something like that, 190 on Spotify. So in 2 months, we've already
surpassed.
Yeah. So like, thank you.
Yeah.
Like, it's, man, I'm trying not to get emotional right now.
No, it's, it is emotional. That's why I told you, you can talk. It's humbling.
Very. Golly.
Yeah. It's, thank you.
Thank you very
much. Seriously, like, it means the world to us that you guys give us your time and that you trust us, and yeah.
Well, and here's the thing. I need you to know you're not a number. It's not just 500. We know that you are a person.
Right.
And so, thank you so much. Thank you for believing in us. Thank you for supporting us. And, you need to know too, particularly after we took that break, back over the fall, we really just wanted to go into realignment with the Lord.
Yeah.
And just, not that we felt like we were out of order or anything prior to that, but
I can only speak for myself. I cannot speak for him.
But we really, we just wanted to realign ourselves in a sense of, we don't want to say anything or do anything outside of what God is putting on our hearts, but even more so for you as his people. And so every topic, at least particularly the past 5 or 6, as we've kind of come back starting in December, we're really going like, God, what do you want us to talk about? What do you want us to do? What do you want us to say? And who do you want us to say it to? And so we don't just see 500. That's, we see you as a person, and there's 500 of you. So thank you.
Yeah.
And it's truly, truly overwhelming. Man. So yeah, there's that 60th episode.
500 subscribers.
500 subscribers, yep. Yeah. The month of March, on a personal note for us, was pretty awesome. Don't worry, we're going to get into something. Just roll with us, all right? Just stick with us. Let us have this moment.
This is like, you know, right before, like right when the preacher comes out and, you know, they kind of do the house, like the...
Like the announcements?
In a sense, yeah. Like, you know, the house rules or whatever. They're like, well, praise the Lord. It is a good day to be with the saints of God. Amen.
I promise you, though, amen. You do want to stick around for this episode. We do feel like
we do have a timely word available for you.
But we do, actually. We do feel like there's
a
word for you
guys. Let's talk about what happened with Sister Susie first and her answered prayers.
Okay, real quick. Let's just recap then, Mark, so we can dive into it. So let's start off with what happened on March. March 15th was my dad's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
So happy birthday to your dad.
Happy belated.
Yes, happy belated birthday. 5 days after was
my niece's birthday. She turned 6 years mm-hmm. old.
And that was a big deal for me, at least, because this was the first time since we've moved back to Texas. This is the first time I got to spend her birthday.
Like ever in her existence. So, yeah. Last year I got to fly out and spend her birthday with her. But this was the first time we've all spent her birthday together
as a
family.
We did like a date day with her, which mm-hmm. was great. And then last weekend, oh gosh, I'm trying not to get emotional again, was my mom's birthday. But the reason why this was special is because it was her 60th birthday. Yeah. And a lot of people just don't get to see 60.
Yeah.
And last week with, you know, the shootings in Nashville, and then we came from the Fort Campbell area, which is close to the Tennessee-Kentucky state line. It's probably an hour north of Nashville. We did not know anyone personally impacted by Nashville. But the reason I'm bringing up Fort Campbell is two or three days after, there was a training accident with mm-hmm. the aviation unit there, in which 9 people died. And so it's weird as last week, as you and I are both grieving, we knew people that were connected to both incidents.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't know anyone personally or directly, but we knew, what they say, 1 or 2 degrees removed. And so on one side, we're grieving that and feeling that.
Yeah.
And it's because we're grieving and feeling that, I'm even more thankful for those moments that we got with our niece.
Because every person that was in the Nashville shooting, every adult that was involved, it was 260 and then 161-year-old.
Mm-hmm. And then the kids.
And and of course the 9-year-olds, all 3 were 9-year-olds.
Right.
But even today I sent you an article about how the Cash App CEO,
mm-hmm.
43 years old, just out and about, just mm-hmm. someone stabbed him to death.
Yeah.
So as we get older, every birthday and every day we get is more precious. And we try not to take it lightly. We make it less about gifts and make it more about presence, being present with each other. So, it was a quick turnaround trip.
And we surprised her. I don't think we said that.
Yeah.
Yeah. We surprised her. So if you're following us on Instagram right now, it's at LTAI podcast, which is Let's Talk About It podcast. So if you want to follow on there, the reason why I haven't changed it yet, I'm being hopeful to at least get the name at Mark K. Benton too, but we'll see. But if you want, you can even find her and find me. But I did a reel and I've watched it probably every day since we've been by.
That's
because
so funny.
I really have. And I don't do it, but I've never seen my mom's face like that before.
Yeah.
Ever. Yeah. I've never seen her response like that. It was just... So just to celebrate, and then of course we did a surprise party too for very, very intimate and small, but just to see the look on her face, and I would say the biggest thing that we've got, we've shared this before, and this is for you. Our motto since 2020 truly has been, if we can do it, we will do it.
Yeah.
If we can do it, not if we can't, I get it. If you can't do it, you can't do it.
Yeah.
But if we can do it, let's do it. And we were so glad and thankful that we were able to be there. And the other thing too is that we learned a couple of years ago is if the Lord wills, the average person gets to live to 80.
Mm-hmm.
And so knowing that my mom is 60, it's easy to go, I got 20 more years left with her. But because I live away from home, and I have for the last 16 years, I get to see my folks once, sometimes twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
And so here's the deal. I don't have 20 years left with my mom. I have 20 to 40 encounters.
Yeah.
That shifts
everything.
I got literally only 24 encounters left with my mom and my dad.
Yeah.
And so if I can't, fine, I can't. But if we can, let's do it. And so I just want to encourage you, just with the shootings, that accident that took place at Fort Campbell. And here's the deal. Not to be morbid, that could be the last time I see my parents. And so as we're grieving on one side, just feeling the pain of what's happened in our nation, as well as specifically in the state of Tennessee with people that we know that are connected to the situation, as well as celebrating another year, and in some cases, another decade of life with their family, we thought this would be a great time. We did a survey actually a few months ago before we came back into the new year of what are some questions or things you want to talk about. And a good friend of ours asked about what does it look like to reconnect with Christ?
Yeah.
Which I think is a beautiful question. And for context, that question for her came from the loss of her sister. I think, I want to say 6 years ago, but it still impacts her.
Yeah.
And they're still a believer, but they're struggling on just like, what do I do? Like, and how do I like, go about this?
I kind of want to normalize that to say, like, if you are struggling, that's okay. Mm. I was actually talking to my counselor today, and I was telling her about a situation, and she was like, wow, like, how did that affect your faith?
Mm.
You know, like, because this is something that shakes faith. And I was just all like, you know, I've gotten to a point in my life where it actually drove me closer to the Lord. But that wasn't always my response before, you know. I was always all like, well, how could a good God make this happen, right? Like, I would always question, like, God, why me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if you are at that place where you just all like, I am questioning, like, I had things happen to me that were not warranted for. And I just want to let you know that I've spent many sleepless nights asking God the same questions, and we're going to get to the answer. but I just want to say, like,
at least some answers.
Yeah. If you're struggling with it, you're absolutely okay. And you're absolutely normal. I think God does want us to ask him that, you know, it's just God, why, you know, so that he can meet us
well,
in
that,
those moments.
That the Lord's self-esteem is not on the hook.
Mm-hmm.
It's not on the hook for our vulnerability.
Right.
You know, it's not like God is in the heavens, not knowing what to do with your question.
Right.
You know,
like, why I didn't see that one coming.
Right. He's not going, oh my me, what do I do with that?
Yeah.
I love that. And maybe part of it, oh, this is a God moment, because this wasn't something I was planning to say. I think the first thing is knowing how to see. So going back to the question, how do we connect with Christ? Number one, I would challenge your view of God. And so let me say it like this. Do you see God as Father? Mm. Like, do you see God as your heavenly Father?
Mm-hmm.
He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord, your provider. He is the Alpha and Omega, meaning the beginning and the end. He is all those things. And he's your Father.
Right.
And the reason why I think this is essential, it's, we always say, you know, as a Christian, we want to be Christ followers, which means we follow Christ. Like, I'm not trying to sound cliche, but no, seriously, let's think about this. So if we want to follow Christ, let's look to the example of Christ. And when you look at the example of Christ, all throughout the Gospels, it's the name that Jesus uses the most anytime he's talking about God. It's the number one name he uses the most.
Yeah.
In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus continually uses the name Father. Even when he sees his disciples to pray, he says, when you pray, pray like this, our Father. And he's making it involved.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not trying to teach his disciples to pray harder. But right. he is trying to teach them how to pray with familiarity.
Mm-hmm.
And father or dad is the term that you use towards people that you trust.
Right.
It's a term. So even if you have an earthly father that you had a terrible relationship with, which let me just say that I'm sorry that has been your experience.
Yeah.
You need to know that it's not okay. And you also need to know that though that has been your earthly experience, it is not the characteristic or the traits of our heavenly Father.
Yeah.
And I know that can sound very hard to take in and receive.
And that's okay.
Yeah, for sure.
It's okay to wrestle through with that, because I had to wrestle through with that. It was to the point where I couldn't even sing the song, "You're a good, good father." Mm. And I was just like,
So let's unpack that. Why was that so hard for you to?
Because I didn't see him as a father. I had to get to this point. I had to wrestle my way to get to this point.
So let's unpack that together then. Like, what are some, and I'm not asking for like the 1, 2, 3 step, but just casually talking, what were some things that you found yourself doing? Because I've seen you grown from, particularly in the past 3 years, I would say. I've seen you grown and filled this gap. Like, you've believed in God for years.
Yeah.
But I've seen you grow tremendously in the past three specific of making this connection of God as Father.
Yeah.
So maybe let's talk to what was the turning point that made you want to discover that?
Excuse me. So I got tired. Okay. I think the biggest point was having nieces.
So 6 years ago is what are you saying?
Well, I like 6 years ago, I was just like, okay, I will do anything to protect this girl.
Mm-hmm.
I would do anything to let her know that she's loved.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it does not mean I don't reprimand her when she, like, you know, mm-hmm. Gets frustrating. But like, I started looking at my niece and there was a sense of love that I felt that I have not before.
Mm.
And I thought, man, if I love this girl this much, how much more does God love me? And honestly, our marriage as well has been like a big foundational thing for me. And I'm just like, if my husband loves me this much, if he's willing to do this much for me, then how much more does God love me? And that's just a, like when we first got married, that's a question I kept asking. And even then I really struggled with my relationship. Like I just couldn't accept, like I couldn't accept that a God who loves me would allow the things to happen in my life,
yeah.
to let me feel the heartbreaks that I felt, let me go through the things I've gone through. Like, it wasn't, and I was like, man, like, I know that he loves me. Like, my husband loves me. And I know that, you know, because he loves me, he sacrifices himself for me. And I know the same thing is true with God, but it just wasn't clicking. And I think in the last couple of years, just being an aunt on top of being a wife has just like really started cementing some of those things. She's like, just because he loves me does not mean free will does not exist.
Mm.
And though I thought God let certain things happen to me, that he was right beside me, just weeping and crying. Like, I am so sorry that, you know, the people that I've made in my image have done this to you. Like, the realization of that, because I love Naya to death, you know, but she still has free will to make her own choices.
Mm.
And that, like, I'm not going to be like, all right, well, I'm going to enforce, you know, right now as an adult, I have a little bit more like, no, mm-hmm, you know,
mm-hmm.
But as she's getting older, I'm not going to enforce my way on her. She has to discover for herself. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean like I love her any less. And that doesn't mean I won't grieve if she ever makes a wrong choice.
Yeah.
You know? So it's the things that happened to me throughout my life the last couple of years that slowly started cementing in the idea of God the Father. Because if I am capable of giving out that much love, how much more does God have for me?
Ooh, man. Yeah.
You know?
So essentially what you've said is there's so much.
I know, I kind of went everywhere.
No. You did, but it was easy to follow though. And so like, I just kind of want to recapture, because you said so many great things. So maybe not in any particular order. So number one, through maybe the role of where you are in relationally,
mm-hmm.
It's kind of started helping you to see. So just the role as an aunt started helping you view, because you're looking at it from a position of authority,
mm-hmm.
type thing. But even though you knew you had authority, you never wanted your authority to be greater than the love, than your niece knowing how much you love her, mm-hmm. which is interesting, because that's actually biblical. Like even in Exodus, when God gives Moses the Ten Commandments, mm-hmm. before he gives him the commandments, he says, I am the Lord your God.
There's relational.
Right.
Yeah.
Like we just skip paps that.
Mm-hmm. Paps that?
Paps. Paps. Oh man. Like it's no, like slow down. Like if I say I am Mark, your husband, not the husband,
mm-hmm.
Like it's
or a husband.
Right.
Yeah.
I am the Lord your God. Like God is establishing with Moses, I belong to you and you belong to me. So it's actually even there.
Yeah.
You know, where it's him. I can't remember how Tyler Stanton said it. Not want to mess it up. So yeah, I'm going to mess it up. So I'm not going to say it. But he was just addressing that even in the original language, it's saying how it's God claiming you as his own. And because he is the Lord, your God, here are the things I want you to do so that you can honor me. You know? So the rules / regulations come after the establishment of the relationship that he has. So to your point, you're just saying how your relational role kind of started giving you a different perspective.
Yeah, because before then, it was rules first, then maybe relationship. And that's how I viewed God.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, so people I've seen in authority and power, it felt like when you do such and such and such and such and such, then perhaps you can be in my favor.
Mm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas when I became a wife and I became an aunt, it was, man, I love you, love you, love you, love you. I want you to know how much I love you.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do mess up, we're going to have a little chatty chat, you know?
So, which leads to the second piece then that you said, you're basically were saying that you have learned to see God as Father through healthy relationships then.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say to you who's watching and listening, start thinking through your most healthy relationships.
Yeah.
And pay attention to the rhythms that you have with them. Pay attention to what is it that they do? What is it that they say?
Yeah.
That makes you feel safe.
Right. And Pastor Sam said it the best. She said, an orphan will abuse you with their power. A son will never.
Mm.
So when people in authority abuse you with their power, then they don't know the sonship of belonging to Christ. I would get far, far away from them because that's not the accurate representation of who Christ is, because a son will never use his authority and power to be like, I'm the son, you know, mm-hmm. or like whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've ever been like in a church, in any form of leadership, round table, whatever the case is.
Family, friends,
where they've given you a depiction of someone in authority is abusive. That is not the depiction of Christ because they don't know what it's like to belong to Christ. They're acting out of an orphan spirit.
Mm.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's funny. My dad had a statement growing up. He said, rules without relationship will lead to rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
Say it again. So the first time he said it, I was like, what does that mean? And using big words like rebellion. I'm like 8 years old.
What does that mean, Daddy?
You know, but rules without relationship leads to rebellion. Think about this in the workplace.
Yeah.
Like it's, even when you think through confrontation, right? Or conflict or something like that. I know for me, like I fear it most when I have zero or little relational equity with someone.
Okay, say that again.
So when I fear conflict and confrontation the most, when I have zero or little relational equity with someone.
Yeah.
Because the thing that I fear most at the end of a conversation, I don't fear someone disagreeing with me mm-hmm. on a topic. If we leave a conversation and we're on two opposite ends of the spectrum at the end of it, I'm okay with that. What I'm not okay with is you thinking I don't value you or love you at the end of a conversation. Yeah. That I'm not okay with. I don't ever want someone, I don't want my rightness to be bigger than my self righteousness.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like I think sometimes because of the unhealthy relationships we have experienced here or the trials and hardship we've experienced here on this side of eternity, we project that onto God.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, and I want to say this as lovingly as possible, but also as assertive as possible. Your experiences and the unhealthy relationships that you have encountered does not get to define who God the Father is.
Right.
this does, the Bible does. And again, you have permission to wrestle with that. And the beauty is God gives us the space and the grace to wrestle with that. Mm-hmm. Just don't stay there. Yeah. Like I love that God allows us to wrestle, but let's wrestle forward. Like, we're going to wrestle regardless. Right. Think about that. You're going to wrestle. Just wrestle forward. Wrestle in the right direction. And at what point does the scripture have the authority to start replacing those unhealthy narratives?
Yeah.
But take it in small steps. I'm not saying like just dive in the deep end. And the beauty is Jesus was patient.
Yeah.
I mean, you see that with the disciples. You know, you see this up and down thing with Peter and John where they do these great, they say these phenomenal things that you know is led by the Holy Spirit. And then the very next verse, it's like, for real, Peter?
Yes.
You know, so I was just thinking through the question. So far we talked about when it comes to reconnecting with Christ, number one, learn to see God as Father more than anything first.
And I think like Christian world has kind of even made that term just weird. Like, they're like, Daddy. And I'm like, just stop. Just call him any. Okay, you know what? If that's how you connect with God, great. But y'all, sometimes it's just weird. Okay?
Just start with Father right now. Yeah, that's what Jesus did. Just call him Father.
And honestly, like, I was
It's going to feel
saying,
weird.
Yeah.
Like, you need to know that.
Oh, my gosh. It is the weirdest thing going from being like, dear God, to like, Heavenly
Five. You're not even going to say ER. We're going to stop with five.
Five. Yeah. And I would actually even recommend, because this is like a really well-known and overused psalm. But if you just want to see God as a father, someone who cares for you, I would actually recommend slow reading through Psalm 23. Like every church has it quoted, right? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want it. You know, but like really slow read through that multiple times in a week and just take those words. And there are some great promises. It's like, man, the goodness of God is so good that he's such a good father that he will lead me beside still waters, that he will give me rest, that he restores my soul, that he invites me into places that others may not invite me into. Those are fatherly attributes, right? Like when I think of a father, those are the attributes a father has. Like, man, he wants the best for me. He doesn't want my life to be chaotic. So like, I would highly, highly suggest slow read through Psalm 23, just slow read through it, take in every word and just honestly, like, repeat it back in your mind over and over again till that thing takes place in your heart. It's just like, man, this is what a father would want from me.
That's beautiful. So, man, it's funny that everything we've talked about so far, like we have not.
I was going to say, like, I don't think we've touched the notes.
Like sometimes we have a guide, you know, just because we have an idea of what we want to say. But like, so, because you said slow read it, and I actually just want to read it.
Okay.
And just give, I want us to give some of our raw thoughts just as we go, you know? Mm-hmm. So by the way, get yourself a Bible that reads in a way that makes sense, because Psalm 23, the verse usually goes, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
There is a street version. I'm just saying.
There is. But I remember the first time I heard that, I was like, don't want what?
Yeah.
Right? So let me read. This is the NLT, right? New Living Translation. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need.
Can I read it in my, what's the guy that plays God in all the movies?
Morgan Freeman?
Yeah. I don't have a Morgan Freeman.
I was going to say, how are you going to do that? But real, before you keep going, think about that.
The Lord is my shepherd. No.
Like,
no.
The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. We can be done right there. Like, if you know that the Lord is your shepherd, like he is your covering, You're good.
Mm-hmm.
Another version says, the Lord is my shepherd. I don't need a thing.
Ooh.
Like it just hits different from the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. We're going to come back to that one day. Dianu, y'all. That's a, remember that one, you know? So like it's, but do we believe that? Like when life sucks, if I know that the Lord is my shepherd, do I really know that I have all that I need?
Yeah.
So just that alone is a shift, you know? Go ahead. What's the next one?
Sorry, I just realized I don't have a Morgan Freeman voice. Sorry, I don't know if this can work out.
Your voice is just as beautiful, sweetheart. Oh,
thank you. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me.
Stop right there, because you've actually hit on this quite a bit. It's so easy. Like, there's a lot of people that like to just go like, "They though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear.
I shan't not fear."
Right. But they stop there.
Yeah.
The next part is, because you are with me.
Mm-hmm.
So listen, that when you think of the hardest, darkest places, maybe you lost someone close to you, like our friend.
Yeah.
Right? You can walk, hear me, you actually can walk through the hardest, darkest time of your life.
Yeah.
But not because of you, but because God is with you. And I know, trust me when I say, I know it may not feel like it. I know that it may not look like it. But just because it may not look like something or feel like, and here's the thing, our feelings are not accurate, fam.
Yeah.
I did not say that they don't matter. They do, but they're not always accurate. So just because, if I turn my back, just because I don't see Juby doesn't mean that she's not there. And that's what sometimes life looks like.
Yeah.
Hardship and tragedy has a way of us turning away. And because we can't see it, therefore I believe what I cannot see. Even though you're literally right here with me,
mm-hmm.
you know, so like you can, even when you have a moment, like you can't, there's actually some accuracy to it. You can't, but with God, you 100% can.
Yeah. You know how he gets, do that again, turn your back. You know how he's going to get our attention?
How's he going to get our attention?
Rod and staff.
For those who are just listening, my wife literally just popped me in the back of my head, y'all. That was so unnecessary.
This is a visual art.
Okay, go ahead. What's the next verse?
Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. Can we just like, because we look at it and we're like, oh, the rod. And this is where like, I think the spiritual abuse part plays into how we view the rod and the staff. Because the reason a shepherd has his rod and his staff is just to kind of like, if the sheep, all the sheep's going this way, and one little sheep is like, meh, meh. So
with are those sound effects for the sheep?
Doesn't that sound like a sheep?
I was like, what is sheep?
Did that not sound like a sheep?
Okay, go ahead.
What's your sheep impression?
I don't do them, that's why.
Oh, okay. But, you know, he can take his little rod and just be like, da, 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 you know, and just kind of like re-guide you.
Mm-hmm.
And the staff usually has a hook towards the end. So if you're just way off course, he can just kind of hook you and just, let's come on back. So I think a lot of the times the rod and the staff is looked at as like, oh my gosh, it's punishment. But it literally says here, your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. It's not they bring terror and anguish to me.
Mm-hmm.
They're not there to, you know, it's not a switch.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Well, with the same rod, the shepherd would use it to bring about discipline.
Right.
You know? But again, it would direct, it would protect, it would also defend.
Mm-hmm.
Against any predators, but even going back to that, yeah, that crook you're talking about, that's the part where it's like the shepherd pulls it into comfort.
Yeah.
You know? And so, yeah, that's the part, like, the beauty is this too. God is all of those things.
Right. But I think we get so caught up on the,
like he's out to get me.
Yeah.
Mm.
I forgot the word for it. But he's just the discipline guy. That's it. Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, I see what you're saying. Though God is a God of discipline, sometimes we only see him as a God of discipline.
So that's the good rod and the staff becomes all about discipline and not never about like relationship. Like it's
only one of the characteristics or aspects and not the other stuff.
Yeah.
That's good.
Like before when I used to read it, I was like, oh, the stupid rod and staff, they're to pop me in my back when I'm, you know?
Yeah.
So it can become way more about discipline and less about relationship, but it's both,
mm.
You know? Because these sheeps matter to the shepherd. Mm-hmm. This is also his lifeline, right? Mm-hmm. So he's just not going to be like, oh, you can be all willy-nilly, do what you want, you know?
Well, and to your point, it's because the shepherd already has a relationship with the sheep. Why? They're able to discipline them right. in the first place. Right. But like you said, it's that's good. It's rooted out of, you're saying that the relationship is what enables them to do all those different things.
Right.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life.
Hold up. Read that part again. Because someone needs to hear that.
Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life. And I'll live in the house of the Lord forever.
So here's the deal. When you are following the Lord, you don't have to find his goodness.
Yeah. Because it's a relentless pursuit from his part.
That's what I'm saying. Like if you stay under his covering, so many of us walk in life like, did I miss it? And it's like, here's the deal. You might be in a place in your life right now where you have intentionally turned away. Mm-hmm. You might be in a place in your life where you have slowly just gotten distracted. If that is you, guess what? You need to know that there is hope. And today, this second, you can still turn around. You haven't missed out.
Yeah.
You haven't. Like, God, 1st and 2nd Peter says, God is being patient with you. Because he wants no one person to perish. You have not missed out. That's what repentance is. Repentance is, it's the 180. It's the full turnaround. And it's not just coming back to the Lord, but it's allowing him control over your life. And if you're struggling with that, the beauty is you get to bring that as a prayer to him.
Yeah.
Like, God, I want to, but I'm struggling. Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, I know I need to, but I don't even know where to start. I promise you, the Lord can work with that.
Yeah.
Your Heavenly Father he's been doing this for thousands of years, fam.
Yeah.
Like, he knows what he's doing. But I just love, like, surely, that's a certainty. Mm-hmm. It doesn't just say goodness and mercy will follow. It's surely.
Yeah.
Like, for real, for real.
Yeah. Surely.
Not that surely. No, that's, I love that you brought that up. It's funny because one of the points, I'm still finishing that. I know you already finished it. I read another chapter, but in the first chapter of Tyler Stanton's book, Praying Like Monks, Living Like Fools, we've referenced this enough. So y'all need to go ahead and check that out because you guys probably
still haven't gotten a check from Tyler.
But one of the things he says in chapter one is that going to your point of looking at the Psalm, the book of Psalm, but that 65 out of 150 Psalm is about lamenting and venting. Mm-hmm. And so, in addition to, you know, reading a psalm like Psalm 23, I think Psalm 91 is another good one mm-hmm. to look over.
Yes.
But there's so many psalms in there in which you can use that helps you to identify God as Father. There are also so many other psalms, 65 of 150. It's just about the openness and hardship that they're going through.
Yeah.
And so I would say going, you know, so answering the question of reconnecting with, how do we reconnect with Jesus? Give yourself permission to grieve the suck. And Jesus also did it, by the way.
Mm, yeah.
Like I did a whole other episode. I don't know. We've talked about doing, as you would say, a remastered.
Digitally remastered.
But I actually do have one. I did it years ago, specifically in November of 2020. And the reason why I remember is because my grandmother passed away to dementia, and my first sergeant mm-hmm. passed away 3 weeks later after that on our anniversary.
Yep.
And the crazy thing is the text I'm talking about specifically is Matthew 26, but it's Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And I just love that in his time with the Lord, same thing. He starts off his prayer with Father. He says, Father, if it's at all possible. And listen to what he says. Take this cup of suffering. He calls a spade a spade.
Yeah.
If I could give the MLT, Mark's Living Translation, God, this sucks.
Yeah.
And I don't want to do it. And he doesn't
find
just
somebody else.
I mean, he doesn't just pray it one time.
Yeah.
doesn't even pray two times. He says three times, God, if it's at all possible, remove this cup of suffering. He calls it what it is. And so as you're thinking about what does it look like to reconnect with the Lord, be honest. Mm-hmm. Like it's one of the things he says is that
if the God of this universe was able to grieve, so can you. There's nothing wrong with you grieving. I'm sorry. If Jesus himself was like, I you know, every time they're like, oh, say some scriptures, like my first one to go to, it's Jesus wept. Like, I do it to be funny, but like, I think it's ironic that's the one I pick all the time because it's a whole scripture, Jesus wept.
We'll talk about the significance behind it, like that, and why you like it so much though, too, like the context of it.
I mean, it's the fact that he showed his humanness.
That too, but like, what? Like, what's the situation though?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, you do. Like, why is he crying, sweetheart?
I don't know.
Who's dead?
Lazarus?
Yeah. Oh. So he's crying because Lazarus is dead.
I'm surprised I got the name right because I never get no one's name right.
But the significance behind it is, what is he about to do after that?
Raise him.
But he still cries. Mm-hmm. Like, that's incredible.
Yeah.
You're still crying because you're fully feeling. He's probably not just feeling it himself. He's probably feeling it with people. Like that's relationship, man. Like, and he still cries.
Yeah. I mean, like it's a whole scripture. Jesus wept.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's there, then why wouldn't we?
Mm.
Like, if God, who is all powerful, shows his emotion and shows his grief, I think it's okay for you to do it too.
Mm.
You're going to be more than okay if you show it. Like, you're not going to be any less. You're not going to be soft, you know. But you're going to be okay. It's okay to let the right people and to let God see. He already knows. The people around you may not know, but he already knows. So you might as well just be open and honest about it.
So as you were talking, I was given this analogy in my head. First off, the Lord gave us our emotions. Mm-hmm. That's the beauty. So like even anger, we think anger is a bad thing. Like, no, it's not. Actually, anger in its purest form is an extension of love, right? The Bible says, do not sin in your anger. Go ahead and be angry. How you handle it,
right?
Your response to it, that's where we get into sin, right? So here's my analogy. Our emotions is a thermometer, right? What do thermometers do?
They gauge the room.
They read the temperature. That's it. What makes a thermometer is that they gauge, assess, and read the temperature that's existent in the room. Mm-hmm. What does a thermostat do?
It sets the temperature for the room.
Based off what?
What we put it on.
Right. But how do we know what to change it, though, too?
Based on the thermometer.
Correct. So if in this analogy, if our emotion is like a thermometer, the Holy Spirit is a thermostat. No, you're not going to go into a room that's 80 degrees. Man, it's hot. And someone goes, it's not hot. Mm-hmm. But we do that.
Yeah.
Or we go into a room and it's 50 degrees. Man, it's cold. Man, it's not cold. It's in your
head. Man, let me tell you, it was so cold. Our AC broke, but in the wrong direction. So it was so cold.
It was freezing.
Yeah. Like it was 59 degrees inside and I had the thing set to 75. Like, okay.
So what did we have to do then?
I had to call the maintenance people.
To do what?
To
change out the thermostat.
Yeah.
It would be foolish to be like, for you to say it's cold and I come in here, I can see that it's cold. I can feel that it's cold. And I go, it's not cold, babe. It's in your head. But we do that.
Yeah.
I'm frustrated. You're not frustrated. I'm struggling right now. For what? What are you struggling with?
Just get a new perspective.
Right. Like we do that, you know, and it's, so the emotions is not the emotions is a thermometer. However, thermometers left unchecked can be dangerous. Mm-hmm. If you just stay in the heat all the time, right?
Yeah.
That's how we start getting dehydrated. If I stay in the cold all the time, that's how I get hypothermia.
I can say when I worked at Sam's Club, out in headquarters, as they call it, like, you know, they're constantly monitoring all the cold food items, right? Mm. And if at any point it falls below a certain degree, we'll get a call from Bentonville saying, hey, we noticed one of your coolers is actually performing under, it needs to be, can you go have someone check it, make sure, like, can you take your gun, like, you know, thermometer gun and go check the temperature and check the ones around it. And if something's wrong, you need to move all the items in there so it can, you know, it won't go bad. And then we'll send someone out to you, you know? So we constantly had someone like gauging the temperature to make sure like the products we're offering is like fresh and like it won't go bad or anything. I mean, at the end of the day, it's going to end up costing the company a whole lot more when they don't continuously monitor it, you know?
There's a word you kept using over and over again. You said check it or monitor. The Holy Spirit checks and monitors us.
Yeah.
If we let him. So again, hear us when we say this. Your emotions is not the issue. Your response to it is. But the your emotions is the thermometer. It's assessing how you feel. The Holy Spirit is a thermostat. And because you're bringing your emotions to him, not it, because you're bringing your emotions to him, he gets to help you check and monitor you, right? And bring you center, anchor you, ground you. Your emotions are not the issue, but how you manage them are.
Yeah.
And so this is one of the notes I took down from Tyler Stanley. It said, motives aren't changed by working them out in silence. It's through brutal honesty with God, through prayer. That's all prayer is.
Yeah.
It's talking to the Lord. And if you missed our last one on quiet time, we go through like, what does that look like? But you can't stop trying to work it out on your own. You want to reconnect with Jesus, stop trying to work it out in silence. You can't. Jesus didn't work it out in silence. His disciples didn't work it out in silence. No great man and women of God that the Lord used throughout the Bible did anything great because they worked it out in silence. Yeah. Nobody. There is a time where we go to a quiet place. That is not isolation. That is solitude.
Yeah.
And even then, the purpose of solitude is to reinvigorate, re-strengthen us to go back out into the world and pour back into his people.
Right.
And a lot of us go like, I just need a break to recoup, recover. So we start off actually with well intention, but then solitude turns into isolation.
Right.
And it's not the same.
Yeah.
We need time alone with the Lord, but that is solitude. But don't kid yourself, because you know when you're in isolation.
Yeah.
And maybe you don't. Maybe you need that. This is when having great health relationships in your life, you know, helps. But motives aren't changed by working them out in silence. It's through brutal honesty with God through prayer. We don't need a perfect dissertation when you go to the Lord. He just wants you. So when we talk about reconnecting with Jesus, seeing him as God, your father, pay attention to the healthy trends and relationships you have in your healthy relationships.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, even just if you're going to like read the Bible, like look at the life of Jesus. He's already like, I'm sitting here thinking, I was like, man, we always say we want to be more like Jesus. And I'm like, dude, he left the blueprint on how to be more like him and how to lead a more fulfilling life. You don't have to go to the cross. That's already been done. Just feel your emotions, for heaven's sake. That's the least we can do at this point. Like, no one's asking you to go to a cross. And that might honestly be your cross, is like feeling an emotion and being honest with God, you know? But I feel like the things you need like are already just written down. And like Mark said, get a version that makes sense to you. Don't get King James Version if that doesn't make sense to you. If that does not bring you comfort, don't read it. Read NLT. There's so many different versions out there. But God's already given us a blueprint of how to lead a more peaceful life, how to connect with him in ways. And it does not require you literally like dying. It's just dying to yourself, yes, but it does not require a literal death from you, because it's it's already been done. Yeah. That portion's already been done for you.
Yeah, that's good. And the last thing I'll say is this is another way to reconnect with Christ. I know I'm going to step on toes when I say this, but I love you enough to tell you. Get back in church. For real. You, the church is literally the bride of Christ. Literally, it's the analogy actually that Paul uses in Ephesians 5 with marriage. He says, husbands love your wives like Christ loved the church. So that's, to personalize it, you can't be friends with me and like me and not like my wife. And we do that. Now, let me also add, many of us stay away from church because of the people who have hurt us. Mm-hmm. So let me also affirm your pain and tell you that I'm so sorry. And that is not the heart or representation of God.
Yeah.
And I need you to hear that. I'm sorry that that has been your experience or experiences.
I was going to say, that's an orphan that did it to you. That's not a son.
Mm.
That's...
And now we're holding God on the hook for the mishaps of his people.
Yeah. One of the things I told my counselor today when she asked me, how come I didn't walk away, you know, and like, how did it affect my walk with the Lord? When I was a teenager, I did walk away. I very much lived for myself because I said, Christians are hypocrites. I want nothing to do with them. If this is what Christianity is, you can have it. I don't need it. And I've tried to make my own peace and I've tried to make my own still water and none of it worked. And when I got to college and God got a hold of my heart again and I submitted to him, I made a promise to him and I said, I will never let people be the reason why I'm kept from the presence of God. And has that been hard? Absolutely, because people can be sucky sometimes, man. Like, people will do some really snarky things mm-hmm. that will make you question the goodness of God. But they will never be the reason why I miss out on the goodness of God and the relationship that he wants to offer me. They're not going to dictate it. Plain and simple. They're not going to dictate it.
And I do want to challenge the term we use. We say church hurt. And I understand when people say that.
Yeah.
Here's what I want to challenge. Normally when people use that term, it's usually one to no more than a handful of five people. It's usually one to five people that have hurt them and they belong to the church.
Mm-hmm.
And here's why this matters. When we say church hurt, then we say the entire church, capital C.
Right.
So everybody in the church is wrong. That would be like, because I've experienced racism with a white person, I'm just going to discount all white people.
Right.
I would never do that.
Right.
Our lives have literally been enriched by white people. Heck, we were just hanging out with some of our closest friends last weekend. Shout out to James Brown. Yes, his name is James Brown. 6'6", bald-headed white dude with a full-grown beard, does not do a lick of dancing. He was one of the best men at my wedding. But I would miss out on so much of life if I allowed one to a handful of bad experiences with one people group to dictate what everyone else is going to be like.
Right.
And so again, I need you to know, and I hear you and I affirm your pain, but I also want us to right size our pain.
Yeah.
You were hurt by people, but not by the church. You were hurt by people.
So you have people hurt, not church hurt.
That happened to take place in the church.
Right.
And usually it's in people with some type of a leadership position. Not always. Sometimes it's a congregant, right, or a peer. So I want to affirm your pain, but I also want to help you right size.
Because here's the truth of the matter. And as a person who's had church hurt, quote unquote, I will never do that. When I was working in corporate America, I would never go and say, like, I have corporate hurt. And therefore, I am completely shutting out the corporate world.
Or Jim hurt.
Right. The only time we think it's okay to completely shut out an entire group of people for whatever reason, it happens to be with the church and nothing else.
Or one of the main times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like we won't say I have voting hurts. That's really dumb. Okay.
No, but I'm with you.
I'm with you. As soon as the words left my mind, I was like, that's really dumb.
Movies is another great example.
Yeah.
Like, we have our favorite actors or actresses. And let's be real, as great as they are, they're going to make that one or two bad movies. They were just like, that wasn't their best. Yeah. So I'm going to throw away every single other movie that they've done that was ever great.
Right.
Or the upcoming ones they're going to do.
Unless it's that guy from Girlfriends, not Girlfriends, Sisters. Anything he's in.
I don't know.
The lawyer. Sorry.
Uh-oh.
Because he was in Grey's Anatomy last week.
Yes, he did good.
And I was just like, there he is.
But yeah, no, you're right, though. Like, and like pretty much in most things in life, like we would not do that, but we do that here. And here's the other thing. Here's going back to even the biblical aspect of it. The first church in the book of Acts says that they devoted themselves to each other. And the church exploded.
Mm-hmm.
And this was daily stuff. Like, go back and read Acts 2, Acts 3. This was daily. We're just asking for once a week.
Yeah.
And by the way, we get nothing out of this. We don't like go to you guys' church. This, we're saying this because we love you and this is good for you, but yeah. You
and
won't
if you can't
find,
trust your trust your church, find a new church. I'm not saying church hop.
Well,
but
I mean,
if
there's
you're not
a form of that though
safe,
sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, if you're not feeling safe at your current church, find a new church.
Church hop to find a church home.
Yeah, you deserve to be in a community where you feel safe. And I 1,000% stand by that.
I mean, it's like getting your hair done.
Yeah.
Right? Like sometimes you got to find like 3, 4, 5 hairdressers before you settle. And other times, this is the first time you're like, I have found in which my hair is well pleased. You know what I'm saying?
Cornball.
I'm just saying like
cornball.
Like my point is like anything else in life, sometimes you do have to hop around, but hop with the goal of finding a home.
You never stop going to the barber because you had that one bad experience at Alaska.
Right.
Where the lady literally like dug into your skin.
Listen, remove my hairline thing. I'm talking like straight, like it's right here. How do you not follow it? I've never in my life not tipped, by the way. That was the first and last time in my life that I didn't tip. I was so angry. I almost shaved my head because of it. I was like, I'll just start from the beginning. It was terrible. But my point is, yeah, as bad as that experience was, I didn't stop. There's another verse here that I love. It's Hebrews 10, verse 23. It says, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promises. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. So you can't look at ways to motivate each other if you're not around each other.
Yeah.
And people say, well, the church is not, you know, billions of people. Yeah. But you got to be around the people.
Yeah.
You know? And so you can't make a biblical argument, by the way, as to not be in church.
Right.
It's just not in there. So when people say, man, I love God, but I don't want to go to church. I get it. And I hear you. It's just not biblical. Period.
Yeah.
It's one of the three. There's corporate disciplines, there's internal, and there's external. And this is one of them. And again, give yourself time to find it. It's okay if it takes time. So, but yeah, I think that's pretty much it. And I can think of just kind of, I know we went like, quote unquote, off the top of our head, but I also felt like these were things that have been in our heart.
First thing you do?
Learn to see God as Father first.
Second thing?
Pay attention to your healthy relationships.
And third?
Well, you had also mentioned slow reading Psalm 23, slow reading Psalm 91. And also you gave a great example of look at the life of Jesus, which means get back in your Bible, specifically read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Heck, start in John, the book of John.
That's what I'm doing right now. Join me. Why don't you?
Yeah. But to your point, if we want to know how Jesus sees God, I mean, we're Christ followers. Let's read about what Jesus did.
Yeah.
And pay attention as you read back through the Gospels, pay attention as you read back through Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Anytime he uses the word Father, pay attention to the context.
Mm-hmm.
What is the situation there? You know, again, I use the Garden of Gethsemane as an example. By the way, if you want to hear us do another version of that, because I did a whole breakdown, it's in the actual podcast. I think it's called Suffering Like Jesus, if you want to go back and listen to it. But comment below if you guys want to hear like a second version or remastering of it. The crazy thing is, by the way, babe, I said I learned that around the time as my grandmother, my first sergeant died. The Holy Spirit gave me that, the breakdown of it, the night before grandma passed away.
Mm.
And I 100% believe because I saw that, it helped me to dig in more, actually, mm-hmm. and connect with God in one of the hardest times of my life.
Yeah.
See God as Father. Read through the book of Psalm, read through the life of Jesus, assess your healthiest life-giving relationships, get connected back to a church, and give yourself time to go through all of these.
Yeah.
Give yourself.
I was going to say, I didn't get here overnight. Mm-hmm. Like you've heard me say in the beginning, it started with us getting married, then having a niece, and then a few years into it, I was just like, is when God really started solidifying. Now I can sing the song, "You're a good, good father," and mean it.
Yeah.
Like, just be like, yeah, he is.
Yeah.
Like, I know God is for me, and it's going, his for me is going to look different than his for you.
Mm.
So also be okay with that. You know, he's not going to be like, you know what? That was good. So copy, paste. No, he wants to do something different for you. So he know, so you know that he cares for you, that you matter. Like, we were at a Passover dinner, and as they were breaking everything down, one of the things that Pastor David said was, God is in the details, even when it comes to the, like, he's just like, oh yeah, have four cups, you know, or have, you know, this boiled egg or this, it, everything God has done to this point and everything that he will do. He's in the details, and he wants you to know that he's in the details. So how he's going to show up for you is going to look 100,000% different from mine. So, and be okay with that. So don't look for your answer to look exactly like mine. Your journey is going to look different. And that's what makes it great, is the fact that it is different and it is personal to you. So, yeah.
That was beautiful. For real.
Okay.
No, thank seriously.
You. Thank you.
For real. Hey, if you guys loved this, please comment. YouTubers, that is so weird to say comment. We've been saying leave reviews. Please also leave reviews, by the way, if you're listening to us on Apple or Spotify. It really helps. But would love, love, love to hear you guys' feedback. And thank you so much for joining us today. We will catch you guys on the next one. Until next time, love, grace, and
peace out.